All right, sit back and relax, because it's the fastest hour. Fastest 2 hours, because we'll include our national program. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee back, Derek Brandale, and Jacob the Hammer Schultz. Who is Jacob the Hammer Schultz?
Who is Jacob Hammer Schultz?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We had him.
Is it a hockey player?
No, it's our tech guy.
Yeah. Okay, so Dave Schultz is the hockey guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, but then why did you, I don't know, that's...
Because no, I'm nicknaming him now, okay, the Hammer.
Okay, yes, that's Jake. That's Jake.
You've been gone 4 days now.
Here we go, yeah.
It's just Jake the Snake.
It's Jacob Schultz.
Oh, I thought it was somebody new. The Jacob part, you've never called him Jacob ever.
He's getting more professional. We're going to get his middle name.
Just like to keep you on your toes, bud.
That's a curveball. That's a complete curveball. Oh, okay.
So I'm Ron Burgundy. I just read whatever's on the paper.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm testing him.
Sammy doesn't need testing today. He's not.
Boys, I'm fighting it.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue who's on our show working it, but we're glad you are aboard. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fans, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. And yes, he is back. Now, Friday, you had started 32 games in 32 cities, and you quit after three.
Yeah.
Right? After the Bills-Lions game, you shut it down and came home.
Yeah, not after the game. The next morning, I came home.
But I
wouldn't say I shut anything down after the Bills-Lions games.
No.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
The pedal stayed down.
I'm really, really happy to be back. I'm surprised now that I'm hearing my own voice in my headphones. I'm impressed with how it sounds.
Yeah.
I will say that my whole equilibrium is totally off from being at an NFL football game. It's the loudest. My ears are still not right.
You were also at a 90-point NFL game that came down to the final plays.
I got to tell you, and I don't want to do too long on this because there's tons of Leafs news to get to, but that was unlike any sporting event I've ever been to in my life. Like, I've seen a lot of really, really cool things. I've been blessed to see a lot of really cool stuff, but what Josh Allen did to the Detroit Lions on Sunday afternoon at 4:25 was one of the more otherworldly sporting event things I've ever seen.
Well, then you didn't see John Tavares against Buffalo then.
I watched the highlights. But that was ridiculous. And if you've never gone to a game in Detroit, now that they're a good team, I can't recommend it enough. It was unbelievable.
So just
10 out of 10.
Sum it up. It was worth the $2,000 you spent.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're worth the $15,000 that I spent.
And right arm.
Well, you know, there's a couple rounds after the game and I'm looking down. I'm like, it's only $40. And I'm like, times five.
In the current exchange rate, this is ugly.
These beers are really cheap. Wait a second. Yeah. No, they're not. But no, I'm really happy to be back. Went to the Wings Leafs game on Saturday night. Was sitting on the roof. Could barely see the game. We were just so high up. But it was fun. And again, so many people came up to me and talked about how much they loved our show, and it was amazing.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really amazing.
It sounds like you have nothing but rave reviews for the city of Detroit these days,
which is nice to hear. Blown away by how good it was.
And we're glad you're back.
Yep.
A shout out for Daniele, Disco Dan, who did a terrific job.
Yeah, he always does.
Some of the best reads we've ever had.
Clean reads.
Let me tell you.
Okay, I got to say, there's a big difference between me and Daniele, and the first thing between me and Daniele is he is a professional. He is a professional person. I am a Leaf fan that has made my way onto television with you two guys. The big difference is he is a professional producer and broadcaster, and I am an idiot who has made myself here.
I'm not that far behind you as a host, so that, JP,
he's
you're
a real professional.
I'm no pro either. I'm an ECHLer.
You're all we have, my friend.
I failed grade 11 math, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Okay,
yeah, great.
As Sammy has alluded to, there's a ton of news coming out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just when Leaf fans thought it was safe to go back in the water, another one goes down.
Yeah.
In Anthony Stolarz, the announcement was made today by general manager Brad Treliving, who said in all probability he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks to deal with a procedure that is around a tiny little pebble in his knee. Is that how he described it?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear the general manager speak about the injury?
Very much.
All right. Treliving, clip one, please, Derek.
So we did an MRI on him the following day. The good news was everything came back. There's no structural damage. There seemed to be still some discomfort with him and some issues moving his knee, straightening his leg. And there was found like a little, it's almost like a little pebble, like a little loose body that was stuck in behind his knee. So he's going to have a procedure to have that removed. It's not a repair. It's not anything of that nature, but it is, they're going to remove the, it's like a little loose body, I guess. It looks like a little pebble. And at this time, we're going to list him as week to week. Hopefully have a little bit better update. I would anticipate that we're looking in the four to six week, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later. So obviously not, you know, you don't want to see anybody out, especially a goaltender that's been playing well like that, but it has to be addressed and we're going to get it addressed.
Wow. Okay. Cue Kyle Dubas. Everything's great.
Everything's great.
Thank you.
The three idiots, I speak of ourselves,
yeah,
could try to figure this out, but we're going to go all pro here and invite our leading sports orthopedic surgeon, who's been around for 20 years almost, around pro sports, Dr. Jason Smith.
Doctor.
Can he spend some time fixing my body after this weekend, too?
Your liver's like a beanbag chair, son.
hey, you're loaded with pebbles. Loaded.
But by the way, AI says, a pebble in the knee could refer to a loose body, which is a small fragment of cartilage or bone that floats in the knee's joint fluid.
Oh. All right, let's cancel Dr. Jason Smith then.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Symptoms include, one of the things is locking of the knee.
Wow.
How it pertains to what he's experienced in the past, we'll probably get into a little bit more specific with Dr. Jason Smith, so we'll look forward to that. Also, Adam Oates at the top of the hour, which will be great. And Mike Halford out west will give us a feel for the Vancouver Canucks on our national part of the show. So, Where, JB, we start with you or Sammy, you pick on where the level of concern might be for Leaf fans hearing this news.
I will say that the concern for me and the Leafs is not the length of time that Stolarz is absent. I am not worried that they can't get through the next 6 weeks with Wohl and Hildeby or... Wall or Hill
between
or
14 and 19 games, by the way.
Yeah, during that time. I'm not worried. Let's call it 16 games.
Yeah.
If he plays 10 and Hildeby gets 6, I'm not worried that that's going to affect them that many points. I am more worried about big picture, long term Anthony Stolarz. Like, is this going to be recurring? Is this going to set him back? Is he going to struggle when in his return? I am worried about Stolarz. I'm not worried about the Leafs while he's out.
I think my overarching feeling is that it just sucks. It was one of the bright spots of the season. I was loving watching him play. I loved the story. And one of my favorite things to say about this was like, what's the catch? Because you sign a guy for $2.5 million it's 2 years, right? Yeah. And he's giving you like not
$12 million goal.
He's giving you the best goaltending in the league. Yeah. And you're saying to yourself, what's the catch? What's the catch?
And the catch was his knee joint.
And then the catch is a wrister from the half boards buckling his knee and having pebbles floating around in there. So I guess that's the catch.
This is uncomfortable.
I am with Borny in the exact same way that you're gonna have the same feeling watching him play now that you've watched with Joseph Wohl and having both goalies like that. And, you know, it's nice to have Joseph Wohl, but I'd be lying to you and tell you that I trust him to have a heavy workload coming up here. Like, why would you have any trust that that's going to work out? So it's kind of a scary time here for the Leafs with all these games coming up and, I'm a little concerned. Level of concern, higher.
Higher.
Yeah, I can't disagree with both of you guys in terms of where everyone's heads around their two top goalies. I think coming in, if people truly knew the history of both these goalies health-wise to get to this point, you'd probably have a lot more concern for Stolarz than you would Joseph Wohl. Now, Joseph Wohl has a bit of a history as well, but I don't have it in the same kind of scope as I would Stolarz with his knees and the multiple surgeries. So
his knees were like Hockenpah, like potentially career threat. Well,
yeah, yeah.
Well, Hockenpah has no fluid for bodies to be floating in. So.
Well,
I see. I'm the opposite, but I guess that's just because I have the prior history with Wohl before having it with Stolarz. Like, I definitely had more trust in Stolarz to stay healthy than Wohl, but clearly neither of them have been able to do it.
We got to take Brad Treliving at face value on everything seems to be fine structurally, but this wasn't a guy crashing into Stolarz. This was something that looked and felt routine that triggered something. So to your point is, how's it bowled down the road? So you get him back, but where are you? The one thing that we did stress with him coming right back off of that New Jersey game was the load management. Mm-hmm. And that's a word that's used today in all of sports, and particularly with these two goalies, maybe we underestimated what that would do to their knees, or at least to Stolarz's knees. Like, we didn't necessarily stress that this guy's got a real history here, and maybe we undersold that the loading of a guy 48 hours after standing on his head and putting his body through every pretzel-looking move that you could possibly come up with.
But, Kip, it doesn't feel like the extra games are what caused the knee injury. It just feels like his knees just degenerate. Or is it related to wear?
I do, because...
Yeah, that's what I want to know from Dr. Like, fall off?
Is it just made of gingerbread?
No. My feeling is that if he's had throughout his whole career a rhythm or a feel of being this backup goalie and playing once every 10 days and the knees are fine, but he was really geared towards going into an area at age 30 for the first time in his career where he's kind of looking and acting like a number one goalie here.
Yeah.
And the first time that you really tax him, and he's never been taxed like this before, is kind of his knee gave out on him.
Yeah.
Is that what happened? His knee gave out on him? It's a freak injury. It's not like there was a moment where we go, wow, that looked bad. That looked bad.
I said that when it happened. It's worse when nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's worse when it's just the guy just goes, oh, it quit.
Like, you know, that was like Wohl last year with the ankle injury with a flutter puck off the sideboards. Where you're like, what happened?
To your point, you're in game one, you're in game three, he plays lights out. Can you go back to him 48 hours later?
Yeah, isn't the point here that you trust if you can't? You trust that the other guy can be as good or good enough. It's almost like, right, they're like doubling down. If we have 10 goalies that break down, one of them should be functional at the right time.
History will show that it's overwhelming that you need one hot guy to get there. The 1A, the 1B, is that?
You can trade.
Is that?
You can trade. Matt Murray and Fleury, they handed it off to each other. Holtby and Grubauer handed it off to each other.
All right. Got any more examples over the last 40 years?
Yeah, there's...
Swayman played game 7 and they lost against the Panthers.
Vegas did... Is it Fleury and Hill, or was it Thompson and A. Hill?
And last year against the Leafs, they played. They tried to do the back and forth thing, and Allmark lost game 2. And I was praying for them to start him again.
Yeah.
So
listen, I'm not saying that it can't work.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm just saying that history has shown that it's not.
Yeah.
It's not likely.
But we're now much more in the tandem era where you are using both guys. So yeah, it's certainly not great. Not saying it's a great thing. Why don't we check in on Treliving about the knee? It is the same knee, is it there, Treliving?
This is
the same knee that he had issues with before?
Well, he's had some issues with both, but there's been issues there. But this isn't related to any previous injury or, you know, it's not a reoccurrence. Right. It's not uncommon for players to have, whether it be little loose chips or you know, basically the medical medical group calls it loose bodies, and it's in the wrong spot. And we waited for a few days to see if it would move. but it doesn't allow him to get full range of motion of his leg right now, so it's got to be removed.
So was it?
I love the line. We waited a few days to see if it would move. Like, was he shaking it out, trying to get it out of? Like he's trying to rattle it out.
A snow globe.
Is it a maraca? Like, what are they doing?
Like a piece of loose glue in the shaft of your club or something? Like,
oh. What are those Australian things that turn up and down?
Snow globe.
Like a rain stick.
So, it didn't move. They got to move it. Mm. So anytime they cut open your knee and go in there, you're not usually good to go immediately. But first thing I did was like, so how healthy is Matt Murray? I'm worried about Wool right away and start asking questions about Murray.
Hillbilly.
This is his new nickname. Well, we have a new nickname. I've never changed.
We got Dennis a new drop.
Dennis Hillbilly.
Oh, God, I walked into that one. The Hill, the Beast.
Yeah.
Hasn't been beast-like lately. Ooh. Got a win the other night, but I think the feel is Matt Murray, I believe, is back.
There is a clip on. Do you want to listen to the general manager gives his thoughts on Murray, potentially?
Five.
Clip five, please.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I when I refer to the depth, it's not just one guy, right? Like, it's, you know, we've got three guys that have been playing well down there. Dennis, obviously, had a tremendous year there last year, played well in his time up here. But Matt's, that's why we got Matt too, right? That's why we brought Matt there. Now, he was dealing with a little bit of an injury. Touch wood, we anticipate that he's going to get in the net tomorrow there in Wilkes-Barre. Go from there.
I think he saw a little bit of action Sunday. I think he came in relief, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, so he's available.
So he's available. My guess is that you probably don't go to Matt Murray until maybe the beginning of next week.
What do you mean go to? Like,
well, bring him up to back up Joseph Wall.
Over Hildeby?
Over Hildeby.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not comfortable from what I've seen from Hildeby to be up here and back up.
He's played three games. He's led in three goals and got a win the other night.
But he wasn't playing that well in the Marlies.
Yeah.
With the Marlies. He wasn't in his wheelhouse. I think my preference would be to get Matt Murray up here over Hildeby. Just based
Is he having a good year in the minors? I don't even know.
Well, I think he was fine before he tweaked something.
Yeah.
And maybe get him back, get him a start.
He's a 919 in the regular with the Marlins.
Get him a start. Six starts.
Yeah.
That's me though.
No, yeah. I actually totally agree. I think it's sort of like the Minton conversation to me, where we'll talk about that in a little bit. But he goes back down. Maybe not the right choice, but you bring in a guy like Camp, who's more like the fourth line center type of guy, and you bring up the veteran goalie to kind of be the backup. And you let Hildeby go down there and play in those games and go back and forth with Akhtiamov or whatever. I actually agree. And I mean,
if you think Hildeby can be something for you and you want him to be something, I don't think it's a bad spot to get him some action.
Yeah.
The Matt Murray thing is fascinating because is the knock on him not been that he gets hurt?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the Leafs have a whole collection of these guys. It's
like a cloud following their goalies.
But not just their goalies. I mean, like Bobby McMahon disappears a lot and Connor Timmins disappears a lot at random times. Like they just have guys that are like...
Their captain went to Germany.
Did he?
Yeah. So, no, you're right. Like we kind of talked about this before the season started, that a lot of the guys they brought in, I mean, go down the list even more. Pacioretty. Mm-hmm. Hockenbaugh.
Oh my God.
Like they really went with guys that have a lot of injury risk. And the two goalies, this was the conversation that we had the whole time. And it's kind of coming to fruition. You're right there, buddy.
Yeah, I got a contact issue.
Oh, boy.
Going blind.
Oh, boy.
It's all right. We got like 20 minutes till commercial. I'll just blink.
Oh, my God.
Just blink it out.
Mashful Leafs.
What's that?
Mashful Leafs. Mash.
Mash, the show. Is that like an army show?
Yeah.
Is that an army show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What? Listen, I'm not 60.
I am.
I know. Like, at least I know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Joseph Wall, you like that number 14, 14 starts, did you say, in how many games?
You know, Sam's saying there's 14 to 19 games in that window of time they gave.
You give them
a
dozen.
But I do think it's like you said with Stolarz. Like, let's see if he can play. You know, that he doesn't have, like, this recurring one thing he's not able to deal with. And if he does, I think he needs to be able to test it and find out if he can do it, too. So, yeah, I'm okay with him getting two-thirds of the starts over this time. And just kind of wait and see what you got.
Yeah, so it's Dallas on Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday, back-to-back in Buffalo, and then back home to face the Islanders. Did they play in, what was it?
They play the Islanders, so it's December 17th. Between now and January 2nd, they played them three times. So in the next, 2 weeks, there's three Islanders games.
Weird quirk in the schedule there.
Stand by the league's most thrilling team.
But I just, you know, are you talking about this week, you're worried about playing Stolarz and then two nights later playing him again and having him get injured. Are you going to play Wall on Wednesday and then on Friday? Like, for me, I go Wall and then somebody else on that Friday night game, and then to give Wall the start at home against the Islanders.
Yeah.
You have to be really careful here, boys.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth
it. It might be interesting if they give Hildeby and Murray games in the interest of spreading it all out a little bit. See what you can get out of these guys.
Yeah. Their hands might be tied here to give Hildeby one more start. Maybe.
I mean, I don't think they're tied. I don't know what.
In terms of,
if he somehow lost the third string role by
nobody liked the early goals on Hildeby.
No,
the other night.
I'd like to stop that because the Tuck one was a hell of a shot off. It just happened to follow
short
a stinky
side.
One. So everyone's
short
like,
side stunk.
The short side stunk bad, really, really bad.
Yeah,
that was not good.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it lines up, but there's no question for Joseph Wall now to go into Dallas tomorrow night, and Dallas is considered very good team and one that can challenge for a Stanley Cup. I know they had a hiccup last week. They lost a couple of games, and then they've rebounded a little bit here. They had a big win against Washington on Monday, but that one's going to be – tomorrow night's going to be their first real test since – Stolarz stole one for them in New Jersey.
Yep.
Like, say what you will about those, you know, Buffalo and
Ducks,
please. This is this is the test. This is the smell test right here on, you know, Wall and company ready for the next challenge of these tougher games.
Because they stole one from the Devils, who outplayed them badly.
Yeah.
And then the other time, more recently, when they played a good team was the Capitals, and they didn't play against them.
But yeah, just like to kind of reiterate, I think you do have to be very, very careful with Wall.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth having, cause you're first in Atlantic. I know you're chasing the lead, but you're in a playoff spot pretty comfortably at this moment. It might be worth having a couple games of a little bit of subpar goaltending and see if your offense can kind of pick it up like they did against the Sabres. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose Wall, then it's panic mode. So just be careful with them.
Well, one thing they do have going to pick up the offense is they're going to start Nylander, Matthews, and Marner for the first time that I can remember, starting a game with them. Am I out of my mind? Do you guys remember them starting a game together?
Very rarely.
Sport Logic, I actually asked this question and just got an answer. The last time the three of them started a game together in the regular season was February 13th, 2020.
Yeah.
So they haven't started as a line in 4 years.
Yeah, I think they did it in that bubble playoff, too. So,
on the surface, you go, not too many lines that could show that type of talent, and it should.
Would you say none?
None.
Who can match
that? I can think of.
Yeah. Listen, let's listen to Berube talk about it, because it's a really interesting quote.
Yeah, and I've used them time to time throughout the season in different situations in the offensive zone, but I thought they were good together. I thought they created a lot of good opportunities. I thought they, moved the puck well, around well. The issue is, they got to get to the net, too. They can't all be on the outside, wanting a puck and making plays. It's about doing things right, and we'll see how it goes.
So who's going to the net? 34?
I mean, what are we talking about, right?
I don't know. To someone. What's he talking about?
Yeah, getting the inside, going to the net. Yeah. I mean.
But that's Tavares. That's Pacioretty. Yeah. That's.
Nice.
Nice.
Yep.
But is there a level of skill and talent where they can break people down, make people miss, connect, and actually pass the puck and make plays?
And you know how I've felt for a long time in terms of Leafs not looking as a team that could move the puck like we've seen others at the top of their game. And is this the first sign of putting all these talented guys together? Do we see crisp passing? Do we see give and goes? Do we see, you know, everything that is associated with a top line when it comes to moving the puck? Or is it just feeding 34 off the side somewhere?
I don't know. I mean,
that's what I expect to see out of the three of them.
Feeding 34.
I want to see puck movement. I want to see zipping it around. I want to see, you know, if Marner and Willie use their edges and twists and turns and, you know, I want to see all of that with the three of them.
Of course. I mean, this is their three most talented guys, and I would say, you know, all three of them are in the top, 20 in the league, 25 in the league? Like, these are talented hockey players who think at an elite level and do elite things, and I think anytime you're defending that, it's a nightmare.
But I also feel when you get these types of guys together, way too much passing sometimes. That, like, it feels a little all-star gamey, where they all feel like they got to make the best play or the sexiest pass or whatever it is. I know you want to see them snap it around, but, like, you know, Willie's been great. One of the things he's improved the most, and you've talked about this for years, Borny, is him going to the front of the net and cutting across the net.
Yeah.
And, like, you want to see him do that. Matthews can do that. And, like, you want Marner to facilitate. Like, I like the idea of it, but I don't know. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, first off, it's totally necessary just to see it, because never see it.
Well, they
played 22 minutes together this season through 30 games. Shot attempts when they're out are 49-19, 24-7 in scoring chances, which is 66% of the expected goals.
Well, I would hope.
Yeah, right? But I mean, but this thing is like, we need someone at the net. It's like, boy,
that's
pretty good. So,
wow, I can tell you right now, third man high is Marner on this line.
Yeah.
Because we know the other ones kind of have
Nylander, I'll give you a cheat.
A little bit of a cheat in their game. And Matthews, to me, part of the look that you're talking about that just isn't right is he's still kind of on a cheating side for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched it at the end of the second period in Detroit.
Detroit was bad, too.
The people in the nosebleeds where I was sitting were not thrilled with that play. Let's just say that. That was ugly.
That was ugly very all ugly. Around. You go back, look at that.
Pan out with an absolute grenade off the skates and then lazy.
No one throws on the brakes. No one back checks. It's swooping. It's ugly.
Yeah. So if we know Marner's going to be the third man high as those guys take it to the net here, who's the third man on Nyes, Tavares, and Pacioretty? Who's going to be the third man high on that line?
Yeah.
You don't think that line will defend?
I just think all three of them want to get to the front of the net.
Who's going to carry the puck on that line?
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's a legitimate concern
Tavares
for why that line.
He's not a playmaker. He's not. His strength,
none of them really are.
His strength is not moving the puck outside of a 6-foot radius around the net. So that one, I think it looks good once you get the puck in certain areas.
Yeah. That's what we said yesterday. Like, that line is built to beat up on some weaker teams. But, yeah, look, these are smart professionals. I don't think that anyone's just going to not play defense for a shift or two. So, well, maybe for a shift or two, but not for a whole game.
But, the thought of having Matthews and Marner, and when Matthews is at his best, he's down below the goal line. He's down below the hash marks, digging pucks out. And Marner clearly is great at that. And you have Willie kind of cheating up the side of the sideboards. There isn't a world where it works out really great, where you transition the puck and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, there can be some overpassing, getting a little cute.
My guess with this team is that it doesn't look great just because of what you're talking about. They're all excited to play with each other. And
yeah. Start snapping around to each other.
Okay, we'll take a quick break.
You don't want to do Minton before we go to break, or do you want to do that after?
Yeah, we'll do that after the break because we got Dr. Jason Smith coming up and going to go a little bit over the Stolarz situation concerns and how quickly can he get back off this pebble.
He's got pebbleitis.
Pebbleitis.
Isn't there someone from the Flintstones, Pebble or something? Isn't that a thing?
It's one of their, that's his daughter.
That's his daughter. Something.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, that was on after MASH.
MASH.
I actually loved the Flintstones when I was a kid, but I knew there was something.
Pebble. Listen, we're going to take a break. I'm going to explain the Brady Bunch to you, okay? The Partridge Family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sit back and relax.
Really need that.
All right. More of that when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Okay, one of my favorite segments already. Because we can pretend to be doctors, or we can go get the real deal here. And this is one of the leading sports orthopedic surgeons, been around close to 20 years around pro sports, working out of the OV Surgical and the Scarborough Health Network. Let's welcome in Dr. Jason Smith. Doctor?
Hey, guys.
Doctor.
Wow.
In proper attire today. Sorry, we got him right in the OR here.
Hey.
Live from OV Surgical. Here we go.
If you got someone on the table, can you turn the camera around?
Maybe some doctor-patient confidentiality stuff there.
Wow. You're lucky we're not there. We could drop a junior mint on somebody at any second right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. We won't take much of your time because we know you're saving lives. Just quickly, you know, for the viewers, listeners, a lot of Leaf fans out there, what the heck is a pebble-like size thing floating around in someone's knee?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to you guys talk about it before, and you guys kind of have it right. A loose body can be, you know, one of two things. Some other little piece of the cartilage, you know, on the knee that's come off, maybe a little piece of bone, or a little piece of the meniscus, which is the shock absorber that sits between the two bones, could be a little piece of that that's kind of flipped up on there. So that in itself, you know, it's kind of a nothing burger. Like, it's little loose body, go in, clean it out, you know, a couple weeks till he's skating again, 4 weeks, he's back. If they want to drag it out, 6 weeks. That in itself is not a big deal.
So the question, I guess, from there is that sort of thing, does that come from where? Or is that just general degeneration, which I think is maybe more concerning?
Based on his history.
Yeah,
that's the million-dollar question, right? And I think you guys nailed it there, is that is this nothing, or is this the tip of the iceberg? Mm-hmm. Is there a lot more going on here? Now, you know, I listened to them try to say this has nothing to do with the past, has nothing to do with his previous surgeries. He had an MCL reconstruction on that side. It was 2017, Philly. You know, anytime enough energy goes through a knee in order to require a ligament repair, you know, that knee is getting old fast. So he's already had a big procedure on that knee. You know, combine that with another 6 years of professional hockey on it, you worry that, you know, there's more going on than just a little loose body. Like, where did that loose body come from? Mm-hmm. Now, is that from the cartilage that's degenerating faster? Is that his shock absorber that's wearing out? Like, I don't care about the loose body. Loose body is no big deal. What I care about is, where did that loose body come from? And what does that mean big picture? So I think you guys nailed it when you were kind of sitting on that. Is there more going on?
How long does it take to accumulate this loose bump or pebble? And is there a chance that the Leafs go in, clean it up, and then a month later, 2 months later, it reappears and bothers them again?
Yeah, again, it makes a question of, what is the source of that loose body? Like, if the cartilage all on the end of his bone is just like wearing away and dropping loose bodies, that this could be the start of, some guys have two or three scopes throughout their career where every offseason they're getting loose bodies taken out a little bit more. But it's definitely a sign that there's some more serious degeneration happening inside that knee.
And then the positive outlook is that it could be just a one-off. I had something in my eye earlier today. I got the thing out. My eye is fine again. Can it be as simple as that?
Yeah, it can be. And you're hoping it's just that. You know, even, you know, say he has a little bit of degeneration and he's flaked off a little loose body and they take it out. Yeah, no big deal. And so he's got some cartilage wear, you know, may get a shot of cortisone come playoff time. I think they have him for 2 years. Next year, maybe one more little scope, a little more cortisone, grind him through. Where I'd be worried is if this was your franchise goalie. Like, did you sign a 10-year, $70 million contract with this guy? Like, is it something like that? But in this situation, I'm pretty confident they're going to manage him through it, you know, without much problem. They'll get him through the playoffs. They'll get him through next year. Even if he needs another scope, 4 to 6 weeks again. Like, not that big of a deal to me.
Hey, scopes now for you guys are like a walk in the park. Like, you can get guys up in 7 to 10 days. Now, I imagine it's a lot more because of the wear and tear of a goalie getting up and down compared to a skater. But, you know, it could be less than 4 to 6 weeks. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, two little keyhole incisions in his knee. So those got to heal before he puts his stinky equipment back on. You know, you don't want this to get infected. So you're looking at 7 to 10 days there. Then, you know, all the swelling's coming out of it. You start skating, you know, by 2 weeks you're skating. And then just how quickly he gets his timing back. So, yeah, it can be quick. Like, 4 weeks, I think, is very reasonable. No reason to battle super hard through this to try to get back earlier. If it was playoffs, yeah, you could push it maybe 3 weeks, 2 weeks, but no reason to here. But it's not going to be a long 8-10 weeks all of a sudden. This is a simple little procedure. Takes 10, 15 minutes to do. You're in, you're out, no big deal.
Is that your patient I hear going, hello, hello, I'm over here?
Yeah, what do you mean, no big deal? This is a big deal to me.
That's right, yeah.
All right, go back to work. Start cutting people up. Thanks all for right, doing guys. This, pal.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, Dr. Anytime. Jason Smith, lead orthopedic surgeon, who kind of, I don't know, painted a picture for us a little bit, did he not?
You feel better or worse?
As long as it's not signed for 10 years, no problem.
I will say, if I'm his agent, I hated that segment.
I don't know how I feel, but again, we did the game the other day. We left our game when he got hurt with the thought of, this is a guy with some history here, and it should be noted, and it's noted.
You know what's funny is when guys finish their career, some guys look back at, you know, hockey chewed me up and spit me out and gave me, you know, got everything it could out of me and all that sort of stuff. But like, you look at where Stolarz is in his career, 29 years old, never had a major payday, on the verge of being the starting goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If I'm him, I'm like, do the procedure, give me the cortisone, you know, give me the procedure, give me the cortisone. Let's just keep doing it till I can. I get why guys put themselves through this. He's so close to, like, great things here.
Listen, it can't be underestimated what he's been able to do up until this point. He had himself in the conversation for
Vezina.
MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, and we talk about Mitch Marner and his contributions, but both of them have, with the absence of Matthews, their big gun on a torrid scoring pace, they've really carried the freight here and put themselves in conversations to get votes for MVP.
I would really have a hard time picking who's been the least MVP between those two guys. And like, I, you know, Marner's been unbelievable, but think about just what good goaltending has done to make this team look more, look better defensively.
And you do got to feel for Stolarz. Oh, right, yeah, he's done everything right, except, you know, convince his knee to, you know, not give out at this point in time in the season.
Say one dark thing, because I'm a pretty positive guy. It does feel like this is going to be a problem. Not saying this year, but like this, in his not even 30 years old yet, it feels like what's going to be eventually for him the reason he has to pack it in. Eventually, he'd be at 34.
He could still come back and be brilliant, of course, and get them to a Stanley Cup final or a final.
But maybe.
Right? Or win a championship, I mean. Yeah. And yet, I know he's, I believe he's got another year on his deal, right? Yeah, so he's covered there. But to your point, I don't think he'll ever be in a position to sign one of those nice goaltending contracts.
Like if he's as good as he comes back and he's awesome this year.
Yeah.
Someone, they might give him 3x5 or what do you like, you know, it's like, but you're probably not getting 6x6.
Be tough to,
because people aren't
with
sure.
With his history, it'd be tough.
I guess the one thing I'm going for you is if it is an LTIR insurance thing, you know, it's not coming out of your owner's pocket.
No, the insurance is for like the very big contracts, and you only have like one or two.
He could be one though.
No, he would never get.
What are you saying? The other contracts aren't insured, is what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that typically there's just a few that are insured by the clubs, because you can't insure all of them. It's too expensive. So that's saved for your $11 and $12 million contract. So I believe Matthews and Marner, Tavares, they might be insured. But after that, it's none of them would be insured.
So if a $6 million player gets hurt, the owner just pays it.
Yes.
It doesn't really.
Yes.
Damn. It's tough beans.
Yeah.
What a curse being a bajillionaire.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough break.
All right. We mentioned Minton down.
Yeah.
We're okay with that, right?
We had all said that it would be great for Minton to have some run as a top guy on the power play, have the puck, play 20 minutes, play with the best guys. I think it's the best thing for his development, which in turn is the best thing for the Leafs.
All right, let's get Brad Treliving's thoughts on sending down Fraser Minton.
No, I mean, listen, I think it was tremendous. He played tremendous for us, and Craig and I talk all the time. But we like this player a lot. If you saw the last few games, it started to taper a little bit. And then last game, when he's not in the lineup, you know, and that's Craig. Craig controls the lineup card. You know, we obviously talk about it, but if you're not going to be in and you're a young player, you got to keep playing, right? We're not going to sit him in the stands. And there's still some things for him. Like, to me, I always find with some younger players, you came in and then you come off it a little bit, right? You realize it's an everyday league. And so nothing but good things about how Fraser's played. I think, you know, we saw his brain. We saw all the things that he can do. He'll be back.
Oh, he's going to be a great pro.
I love the expression, it's an everyday league. Because, like, you have to be so good that when you're off, you're still effective.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be above the level. Like, a lot of these guys can get to the level, but they can't maintain it 82 times. And you have to be above it, so your off days, you still look good.
I did see some Leaf fan push back to him getting sent down. I think there is a lot of people that aren't a huge fan of David Kampf, which is, you know, maybe an understatement. Just the fact that plays a pretty boring game out there, fourth line center type of guy, kills penalties type of guy, not going to give you any offense, not a young prospect type guy. But I would say that there are some Leaf fans that have pushed back to this.
I don't use this sort of expression often, but like, if you don't think David Kampf is good, like, you don't know hockey. You're not an effective, you don't watch hockey enough or something. Like, he doesn't do the scoring things and the offensive things, but someone... what do you say? You can't bake a cake with the same ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, some guys got to be the baking powder.
Yeah.
Baking powder and cakes? I don't know.
If the Leafs were...
Ever baked a cake, my friend.
If this was 2 or 3 years earlier, and I don't know, it's so far back, I don't even remember. Were they challenging for a Stanley Cup back then, or were they building towards something? I forget.
2 or 3 years earlier?
I'm just saying
that... Year 7 a cup contention.
That Minton is... If he's on a team that isn't really expected to go all the way and this is the year that it has to happen, then, keep him around.
He's playing for Buffalo. He's playing for Detroit.
He's in the lineup.
He's making those teams.
And he's making mistakes.
Yeah, and they're letting it happen. It's part of the development.
For sure.
But
that's not the case here. They need guys that can come in and have enough experience so when it gets a little hairy, they can take a deep breath. That's not Minton right now.
This is why these tanking teams that have prospects are way ahead of themselves, because it's good for a guy to have to play up to a certain level to stay in, to be around a team that's trying to win every single day, to see what it's like and how hard it is. I think it's great that the Leafs are good enough that they're saying to him, not right now.
Did we do Berube on camp coming back?
We didn't, but I just one quick thing on Minton too. I don't know if this matters, but I'll ask you two. Like, if there was a world where they would consider him in a trade for a third line center type of guy for a cup run or maybe a second round run, regardless of where they're going, would him having that little bit of game tape this year make a difference for, like, did that increase his value
for
this
sure,
year?
For sure, for sure.
I think it just reiterates that he's going to be a good pro.
If you traded for him today, you could use him today.
And it's not a third liner. It's a top six forward.
Wow. You know why? Because next year, Fraser Minton is a third line center. Like, he's that close now. So I don't think you trade him for a third line center.
No, you need a guy that could easily be a top six forward and can play wing or center.
Is Yanni Gord good enough for you?
No.
What about Mikael Granlund? You guys like him?
Never. I do like Yanni Gord, but if it's Minton, then you're...
No, I need a higher. I need a higher, especially for Minton.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, seeing Matthew Knies take a step and be a better version of the guy that we in the past had in these sort of deals... It's tough to move on from a guy like Minton who's this close now. Let's listen to the coach.
Okay.
Craig Berube has some comments on him. Clip two, please.
I thought he was good. I mean, I thought maybe dropped off a bit. It's like he messed up camp. You know, hasn't played a whole lot. And I don't, you know, we don't want him sitting out up here and not playing every game. I don't think that helps his development. I think he's going to be a real good player. We really like him.
And I wish he would live with me and be my son.
they put out like one of those, because they like an Oreo and milk ad thing, and they're like best combinations. Like, what are the best combinations? Some guys are saying peanut butter and jelly or whatever they were saying. And Fraser Mint went, snow and Christmas?
Oh, that's like, so
is that
earnest.
The sweetest guy ever? Yeah.
And they were going to say Berube and Minton.
Yeah, that too. Number one guy said peanut butter and pickles, which is weird. I don't know who said it, but there's anyways.
And then you saw that word on Instagram?
It was on Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter.
I can't
watch those things.
I know. You have a very...
The chests are so...
Your cringe meters.
They do nothing. Yeah. But people want to get to know personalities. Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah. Kip's just watching MASH clips.
I just want a personality to win.
You just prefer, like, grunt noises.
Just Tim Allen from Home Improvement. Before we go, we do have Berube on getting camp back tomorrow, which I think helps them. Let's see if the coach agrees, clip four.
Well, that's good, and he's a big body there, and he did a real good job with us killing would believe it was Marner, because Matthews was out. I thought they were really good together, and... you know, gives us more flexibility for sure. But I like his size down the middle, and he moves well. And like I said, he has his job to do, and he's been doing it well.
Likes him.
Yeah, it's still hard for, I think, Leaf fans to put true value on him without, again, seeing the puck cross over the line sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what, $2.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
He makes decent money for a guy, but I've seen value in the past.
I agree, Kip, that it's like, you know, it's
can't
more,
win.
And it's too much than, you know, I'd love to see him get paid too. You know, people would like him a bit more if he made a little bit less. Mm-hmm. That's an unfortunate part. It's funny, he does have an 11-goal season with the Leafs.
And then prior to that?
11 goals.
Give me the numbers.
He has a 7-goal season, an 8-goal season with them. He has an 8-goal season with the Blackhawks before that. 4, 7, 4. Yeah, I mean... It's like Connor Dewar. It's like you need to do a 30 for 30 on how these guys had 10-goal seasons.
11 but, goals is crazy.
Yeah.
Was that his first year with the Leafs?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I remember it being
all right.
An offensive star that year.
27 points.
We brought in one of the top doctors, orthopedic surgeons, and Jason Smith, and we've solved nothing.
Just made ourselves anxious.
Loose body.
Sammy, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Boys, I'm fighting it.
Oh, you're doing well.
I'm fading.
We got one more hour.
You're going to eat a chocolate. I got some chocolate.
Hall of Famer Adam Oates will join us. We'll talk secondary scoring with the Toronto Maple Leafs, as well as what we saw last night against the Stanley Cup champions, against the Edmonton Oilers. That was a fun game. Not sure the coaches were thrilled with it, but we'll get into that with Oatesy.
Fun game.
All right. Stick around. Plenty more. We're back after these words.